If you found Colossians chapter number 1, if you're able to, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And share a few thoughts out of this passage of Scripture that God's given to us. We're going to begin reading. Of course, we have the introduction in the first two verses, but let's pick it up in verse number 3, where Paul, speaking to the church at Colossae, he says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." I see this back in verse number 9. It's the second time that he has said that he's praying for him. "Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire." And then he goes in and gives the list of things that he's desiring for them. And we're going to look at a few things on this subject matter, on a desire for passion. A desire for passion. Let's have a word of prayer and then you can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you, and I'm thankful for your passion that you have towards us. And Lord, I'm thankful for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for the Bible that we can gather together this morning, the Word of God being opened. And Lord, I trust you to speak to our hearts. Lord, if it's just me up here speaking, it may be idle words that mean absolutely nothing for all of eternity. But Lord, if it's your words and your message that you have for us, may we understand and realize that this is a message from the Lord this morning. And so have your will and way in our lives. Do that work that only you can do. And we trust you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I do want to ask if you're able to stay around for the afternoon service. And we are going to be partaking of the Lord's table and communion together. And then we'll close out the service. We do have some updates on our building project and the building and what's taking place and steps that will be coming up rather shortly, Lord willing. And so we'll give that update this afternoon. We are not going to be live streaming that part. And so you'll need to be here or get the gossip from someone else of everything that's taking place. I'm joking, of course. So, no, I'm not. And but as we look, I was reminded when the Apostle Paul was saying here twice of what they were praying for, and mentions that he's praying for them twice in verse number 3 and then in verse number 9. But then as I looked at this list, and time would fail us, I believe if I were to go back and talk to the Apostle Paul and then the translators of the Bible, this is probably one of the longest run-on sentences that the Apostle Paul gives to us in his writing. It begins in verse number 9, and at the end of every verse, there's just another semicolon or a colon all the way down to verse number 17. When there's finally a period at the end of it. I said if I were to do that when I was writing a paper in school, I said they would definitely, excuse me, mark that wrong and say, listen, you need to break that up a little bit and make its own independent thoughts down through there. But the Apostle Paul gets away with it, and I would have cited Bible. Amen. And looked at my teacher, which was my mom for a lot of it, and say, but I've got Bible and I've got example all the way down through here. But I've been praying on this subject matter of, Lord, would you give us a passion? A passion. Now, I know we sang the song, a passion for souls, but I just believe in this day and age that we're living in, overall in Christianity, we are just losing our passion, that driving force for the things of God. Now, we know, and we could preach several subject matters on this, and you'll hear it referenced throughout this year again, that we lose passion, and I pray that you're not there, but lose passion in marriages, you lose passion in the job site, and you say, well, I just don't love what I do, it's a job. Listen, if it's a job, I don't know too many people that just say, I can't wait to get up and go punch that time clock. Well, I just wish that they were better towards me. Get your own company. And then be nice to the employee. But there's just some things. How many have ever had to do something that you just didn't enjoy doing? Every one of us would put our hands up. We've all done that. But they need to be done, don't they? But I bring it over to the subject matter of passion. I was also reminded what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter number 3 when he said to set your affection on things above. That is our passion, our driving force, everything that's in our heart. When relationships first start out, it's amazing if we could bottle up the passion that is there in a relationship and say, we can run off that from now till eternity. Well, can I say this? I believe that if you have a biblical marriage and you follow in biblical principles and have the biblical perspective, I believe that passion would just grow over the years towards each other, and it is fuel, and it is what keeps things going and keeps things lively. A passion. I'm in love with my wife more today than I was 25 and a half years ago when we got married. And I'm more in love with her now than I was over 30 years ago as a little teenager that didn't know anything, didn't know any better. But as a 14-year-old, and I'm not recommending this, okay? But as a 14-year-old, looked over at that little red-headed girl and said, I love you. What did that 14-year-old back then know anything about what love was? Sometimes I believe it gets that way with the Lord. That the more and more we walk with the Lord and we get closer to Him, the more love we have towards Him. I'm afraid in the society that we live in today that our passion for the Lord and our passion for the things of God begin to fade and they begin to wear down. And you say, well, I'm just not as passionate towards it. You say, how do I know if I'm losing my passion for the Lord? It's just not as important to you as it once was. It's just not that driving force. You remember that day, well, when I first got saved, I wanted to be in church. And I love it with new Christians that they still text and say, hey, pastor, we're not going to be there for service. Just wanted to let you know why. Instead of some that can go weeks on end and it doesn't bother them for missing service. It doesn't bother them for missing their Bible reading or missing their time in prayer. And you say, well, the fire's gone for that. And we've just gotten into the routine. Listen, we don't like that in our relationships. We don't like that in our job situation. And I don't believe that it's pleasing to God when it's in our relationship with Him. Many today in your Christian life desire for it to be, whether it be a emotionally filled experience, and say, well, I want it to be on top of a mountain all the time emotionally. I don't believe that's the Christianity of the Bible. We want it to be a earth-shaking experience all the time. No pun intended from this week in New Jersey, okay? All the conspiracy theorists. One guy put out on X, formerly known as Twitter, that he said, listen, just because there was an earthquake does not mean that the end is near. Now, the end may be near, but not because there was an earthquake doesn't make it nearer. And I commented back to him, I said, but you do understand that the earthquake was 3 days before a solar eclipse. And I said, in the Bible, I said, big things happen on the third day. And I said, we all know in biblical numerology what three is in the Bible. It's amazing how we can take things and their passion for it all the way through. And sometimes we want that type of experience, and you say, well, the newness has wore off. I found out this, that, and I was praying this morning in my personal life about success in the Christian life and some things that God's speaking to my heart about. And I believe I've realized this, that success in the Christian life is just found in faithfulness to the Word of God and to the Lord. Just faithfulness. It's not always an earth-shaking experience. It's not always that we're on emotional highs, except I love enjoying life. I love enjoying Jesus. I love enjoying ministry when it's our passion. But how's your passion for the Lord? You say, well, I can be in church. I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. I come to prayer meeting. I'm listening to the online devotion. Hey, doesn't mean you're passionate about it. Doesn't mean there's that desire that's there. And I noticed a few things, and honestly, I'm just going to look to read the Bible and make some comments this morning on what the Scriptures say here of what Paul was desiring as he is writing to the church at Colossae here, a place that we really don't have record that the Apostle Paul went to. But the souls were saved there. There was a church that was started. They were growing. Epaphroditus comes back according to verse number 7, and he's reporting back to the Apostle Paul. And he's telling Paul, boy, these saints that are down there in Colossae, and the knowledge and the desire that they have for the things of God to be able to grow. Boy, it's wonderful. And Paul is writing back to him saying, hey, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. And I'm praying and I have the desire for these things. And he really, if you look at the sentence structure that is here, he's desiring and praying for two things that have been made mention here. And the first thing in verse number 9, he says, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, first of all, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with the knowledge of his will. And Paul is saying, listen, I am praying and I desire that there would be something inside of you that you would be filled. Now, what does filled mean? Well, halfway. No. I get so frustrated at potato chip bags. Why don't they just be honest? Well, it does say it goes by weight on there. It's only 8 ounces. Then why put it in a bag that'll hold 16? Okay? You open up that bag and it's a bag that tall. You're like, man, I'm getting all this for $5. No, you're not. You're getting this much. We ought to cut those things out anyway. I've cut back on my potato chips, especially after Thursday when I was given the devotion about the temple of God. Had to cut back on the potato chips. Filled. And what Paul is saying is not filled with the things of this world, not filled with earthly desires or emotional satisfaction. He said, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Let me ask you something. How deep And how hot and burning is the desire in your life to be filled with His will? And to know what His will is. You say, well, Pastor, I think that's a secret. I don't think we can truly know what the will of God is for our lives. I beg to differ if we're going to go according to the Bible.
Right.
You see, first of all, I can tell you exactly what the will of God is for your life. You say, oh, you're one of those pastors. Yes, I am. Because the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, what's the will of God for my life? First of all, the will of God's for you to be saved. I believe that. You say, well, I don't know about that. Pastor, you don't even know me. I know God enough to know that He desires for you to be eternally saved, because every one of us have a sin problem that we cannot take care of, but God did. You see, He paid the price. Isn't it great when someone else picks up the bill? Sometimes when it's unexpected, and like, hey, someone else paid your bill, and you're looking around the restaurant saying, who was here that I knew? But isn't it wonderful when someone else pays the bill? And that's exactly what Jesus did for each and every person. Paid the sin debt on Calvary. Not your good works. Not your church affiliation. Not your family heritage. But Jesus paid that. And it is God's will for every person to trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You say, well, I guess that's where you knowing the will of God would stop in my life, because I'm already saved. Well, if we're going to go according to the Bible, I can still tell you what the will of God is for your life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, you see, the will of God is not hidden from us. For those that say the will of God is hidden, I believe it's given testimony of someone who's not reading their Bible. The Bible says over a few pages in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 3, and I know this is hard to understand, for this is the will of God. That's how the verse starts right there, okay? This is the will of God. You say, Pastor, can you just make that easier to understand for us? Okay, I will. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. This is talking to people that have been saved. That ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence. You say, well, can you make that easy to understand? I can. It's excess desires and excess partaken of. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. You say, what's the will of God for my life? It is holiness. It is living right. And can I also say this? Treating each other right. That's the will of God. But I wonder this on the desire to know the will of God, the desire to do what's right, is that passion burning in our hearts and lives? You say, well, Pastor, I can take it or leave it. If I hear you on Sunday morning, then that's fine. I don't need to hear from you until next Sunday morning, and that'll be just fine. Listen, I understand that from the fleshly side of things, but I'm amazed at how many say, I have a burning desire for the will of God in my life, but there is never any time in church, there's never any time in the Scriptures, never any time in prayer, and everything that's the fruit of their life is just an emotional roller coaster up and down. When what we ought to be is having the desire for the passion of knowing the will of God. Now, let me ask you something very simply. Where do we learn these things? We learn them out of the Scriptures. you understand our number one priority ought to be wherever we can get around the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, we ought to be part of it. We ought to be learning it. We ought to be soaking it up. He's praying and saying, listen, my desire for you here in Colossians chapter number 1, my desire for you is that you would have a passion for the will of God. Now understand this. He says this in verse number 9, filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you understand in that phrase right there, you have the three things that are necessary for the Christian life. You have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. If you go back and you read the book of Proverbs, do you understand those three things are listed over and over and over? Knowledge, wisdom, that's Colossians 1 and verse number 9. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You say, well, what do those mean? Knowledge is how to do something. The wisdom and the knowledge, the how to do something. Wisdom is the doing it correctly. The understanding is why we do that. Understanding every aspect. Knowledge is just facts and figures. Things that we know. You ever met a smart person that had no common sense or wisdom? They're a person that's full of knowledge, but yet they don't know how to open that door. I mean, just some common sense stuff. There's one thing to have all the knowledge, which there's people that sit in church on a regular basis that have all the knowledge of Christ. They have all the knowledge of Jesus. They can answer all the questions. They have the knowledge, but there's no wisdom. They have all the facts and figures, but they don't know how to apply that to everyday life and how to live that out. But then there's some that have the knowledge and the wisdom and they don't have the understanding. They don't understand why this is all being done. Why God desires for this in our lives. And what Paul is saying is I've got a desire for the passion in your life to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. Get into the Scriptures. Understand what the will of God is. Listen, just spending our lives in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, for this is the will of God. If you just go through those things right there, it'll take a lifetime living in the will of God. Yeah. It'll take a lifetime. But then I want you to see this. He says the first thing, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. But then verse number 10, he starts over again, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Do you understand one of these is internal, according to verse number 9, but that we get to verse number 10 and it is now external? Walking worthy of the Lord. If you actually go back and look at the very definition of the word worthy, it actually means deserving of or having the merits of. Now walk worthy of the Lord. What Paul is saying is, first of all, I'm praying that internally you know what the will of God is. That you are saturated with God's desire and His knowledge, His wisdom, His spiritual understanding. You have all of that internally, but that's not where it ought to stop. He said that you walk worthy. Now that's outwardly. Now, I've heard it put this way before, that I've heard coaches say it to their players, okay? And when they get into a championship game or they get into a high-profile situation, here's what a coach will say. Act like you've been here before. Now, I'm not saying that we are deserving of God. Do not misunderstand that whatsoever. But do you understand that when we're saved, we ought to walk like it for the Lord? We ought to have those characteristics in our lives. And you say, well, how do we know if we're walking worthy of the Lord? I'm talking in this present world. Do you understand we as Christians ought to be different than this world? We ought to be. You say, oh, Pastor, I just want to be part of a church that's just like everybody else. Then why have a church? If we're just like everybody else, then why have another one? I've been told there's some, and I don't go to those type of churches, but I've been told that some people have walked in churches and they haven't even opened the Bible. I don't believe that you came here today to hear my opinion on things, did you? I could give you just a motivational speech, but yet I don't think that's what you came here for. I don't believe you came just say, hey, I just want to feel good a little bit. Well, can I say that I love it when I go to church and I do feel good?
Yeah.
I love it when I'm encouraged. But you know, there's sometimes I leave church and it's a thing called conviction that I'm not exactly, I might not be living exactly how Christ desires for me to live. And through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, Peter, boy, you better get that right. You better get that taken care of. And when God shows me some things that are wrong, I have one of two choices. I can either say, most blame it on the pastor. Well, I just don't like him talking to me like that. No, what we don't like, and I say we don't like the Holy Spirit talking to us like that. One preacher put it this way, if your phone's ringing, pick it up. If the Lord's speaking to us, listen, walk worthy of the Lord. Now, understand this. He says, unto all pleasing. So do you understand that there's a way that we walk, and we're talking about our lifestyle and everyday life, there's a way that we live that is pleasing unto the Lord. Now, I'm just simple enough to believe if there's a way that we live that's pleasing unto the Lord, that there's a way that some live that's not pleasing unto the Lord. Now, according to Hebrews chapter number 11, if we're not living by faith, then God's not pleased. It's that simple according to what the Bible says. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So we're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And so what's this list that He gives to us of how we know that we are walking worthy of the Lord? There's a few things that are listed here. Number one, we're fruitful in every good work. Now, I love how he said they're fruitful in every good work, because some people are fruitful in evil works. Some people are fruitful in wicked works. And I would rather be fruitful in good works. Do you understand that if we are walking and living for God, I believe that the hand of God and His blessing is going to be upon us, and that God is going to enable us to be fruitful in what we do. Now, let me ask you something. It would be an absolutely crazy person that would say, I want to live my life and it not accomplish anything. Not accomplish anything, but actually have a negative impact by the end of their life. There's not a one of us that wouldn't say, you know, I want to make an impact for something, for a good impact. I don't want to be born and live and die and never impact anybody or anything. But I want to impact them in the right way, in a godly way. And you understand here the passion that Paul is speaking of here, that you would walk worthy of the Lord. And part of that is being fruitful in every good work. What fruit from this past week spiritually, can I ask, would be in your life as a result of this week? Being fruitful in every good work. That there's actually eternal results from your life that have impacted positively. Fruitful in every good work. Second of all, he says in verse number 10, not just being fruitful in every good work, but increasing in the knowledge of God. You say, well, I think I know everything about God that I can possibly know. Really? Do you understand if we would simply do what we just sang a little while ago, count your blessings, name them one by one. Do you understand a blessing is something that we don't necessarily deserve? I've found out this, and I try to my best to be able to listen to older men of God, men that have been in ministry, preach this Bible a whole lot longer than I have been, and some of them preached it longer than I've been alive. I'm not trying to make Norm Jackson feel old, but I mean, he's preached it longer than I've been alive. But I found out this. Here's what preacher after preacher after preacher has said. You know, the more we dig into it, the more we just keep getting to know Jesus a little bit more. The more we get to the depths of His grace, the more we dig down into His love and His mercy that's towards us, the more we begin to understand more and more about Jesus. If you're seated here this morning and you say, Pastor, this is just a religious duty for me to be in church on Sunday morning, and you can't teach me a thing out of the Scriptures, and I know all there is to know about God, can I say this? I can't help you. You ever tried to talk to someone who knows it all? When they start giving me their qualifications and all their knowledge and everything, I've found out this. I might as well quit talking. And I always can pick up a little statement that said, well, this is what I, blah, 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 and name it off. This is my years of experience. Now, I'm not talking if you've been working on buses for 30 years. Well, in my years of experience, okay, in other words, I don't know anything. And I'll stop that conversation right now. Can I say it's not that way with God? And if we get to that point that we cannot learn more about God and we cannot increase in the knowledge of God, boy, that's a sad place to be at spiritually. And I believe that God has so much more. You say, well, I've read that Bible cover to cover. We were talking about it last night. Jay and I were sitting there at the table, and he says, have you read that Bible cover to cover? I said, I have. I said, but I'm still reading. I said, you know why? Because I don't know it all. I know. That just shocked half the crowd. I don't know it all. And I said, listen, we're still all learning this Bible together. Because I found out once I take one layer off and I'm like, boy, look what God just showed me. There's another one underneath there and I'm still digging. And I'm still saying, Lord, would you keep showing it to me? Increase in the knowledge of God. Don't you think He's worthy to keep digging? Don't you think He's worthy to keep learning and not say, hey, I've arrived at this? But let me ask you this. How's your passion for learning more about the Lord? Or is it just, okay, come on in, try to teach me something. Oh boy, just getting to know the Lord more and more, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. But then he said this, strengthened with all might. Strengthened. Do you understand that God has given us everything? Now, I don't want you to get scared on this right now, okay? God has given us everything to be a strong Christian. He has. Now, if we're saying I'm weak and I can't do it, I understand what Paul was saying. Times that I'm weak, then is he strong? But we are supposed to be strengthened according to his might. What do you think Philippians 4:13 is talking about? Mm-hmm. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Yeah. He is strengthening us to be able to live for him. Here's where I don't want, don't turn me off yet. If we're a weak Christian, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Well, I just get, in Ephesians, he talked about, Paul talked to the church, the saints there at Ephesus, and said, ought not to be children blown about by every wind of doctrine. It ought not to be us. We ought to be strengthened according to his might. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since it was your desire, your passion, your driving force to say, God, would you strengthen me? Listen, if there are the flaws and the weaknesses in your life, God has given us. And listen, I got broad shoulders. It's been blamed on me within the past 2 weeks. Well, Pastor didn't do this. Okay, if you're a weak Christian, I'm going to give you what the Bible says. But you got to do it. strengthened according to his might. And he says underneath that, it's by his glorious power, by the way. It's his power that worketh in us. It's unto patience and long suffering. And then I'll close with this. He says at the end of verse number 11, listen, this whole strengthened with his might, this whole pleasing the Lord by his glorious power. Listen, it's with joyfulness. With joyfulness. Don't ever forget that God has designed the Christian life. You say, oh, well, you're just one of those places that say you need to live right. No, the Bible says we need to live right. The Bible says we need to be learning more about God. The Bible says that it's more about the Scriptures and about the Lord than it is about my emotions and my feelings. It's the Bible that says that. You say, well, if I've got to live like that, that takes all the joy out of it. You know, and this is not, Brother Nate, you help me with this, okay? You're my accountability partner right now. When I that's one thing I've never been told in my life that I'm not happy enough. I've never been told, Pastor, you're living this Christian life and you make it look miserable. Now, I'm not saying that in a prideful way. That's where he's my accountability partner, that if it comes across prideful, he's going to pull me aside and say, Pastor, you need to get that right. That's when I say, I got an accountability partner. If that's prideful, Nate's the one that gets to come talk to me. Okay? I love the Christian life. Well, living this way and serving God. Hey, listen, I am concerned about where some are getting their substance and their strength to be able to live this life that God has them living. I'm afraid there's more that are dependent upon motivational speakers that they find on social media than they are dependent upon the Word of God and what God has given to them. Just because they say something good on social media, boy, be careful. You won't see me share a whole lot. I believe a comment usually, or a share, or a like, or a love, that's an endorsement. Boy, you better be careful about what you're liking on social media, what you're endorsing on social media. I'm talking about everything else that they've posted too. This Christian life that God's given to us, listen, it can be with joyfulness. But here's the thing. Have we lost our passion for it? Have we lost that? I just want to do this for the Lord. I just need more. You know, it was said, I don't think it's still on the website, but it was on our Facebook page for church when we were first starting it. You know what I found out when we moved here to Concord? I found out this. There was a lot of people going to church, but they had no joy in going to church. And I actually made the statement. It was on our Facebook page for a while, an explanation of our church as we were trying to get the word out there. And I put an imprint a few times, and I don't apologize for it. I said, it's time to enjoy going to church again. It's not a burden that God places upon us. But do you understand that passion that Paul is praying for the saints here at Colossae, saying, listen, I want this in your life with all fullness of joy, with all joyfulness. I want this in your life. How long has it been since you've just been joyful in walking worthy of the Lord? You've just been joyful in desiring to know the knowledge of His will. And I'll just go ahead and say it. Listen, you ought to be around the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God as much as you possibly can be. Sometimes I think we take it for granted. Eric Peters texted me this week and I told him we were going live. He said, you go live an awful lot on social media teaching and giving devotions and everything. He wasn't saying that in a bad way. I just thought sometimes I think we take the presentation of the Scriptures maybe for granted. I'm saying, Lord, would you help us to walk worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, How's your desire for the passion for Christ right now? How's our desire for the Lord and the things of God? I'm not talking about an emotional high. I'm not talking about just checking a religious box. But understand, and I don't have time to preach the rest of this. Do you understand, after this passage of Scripture, I'll summarize this. After these verses right here, he goes into, why should we have a passion? Why is he praying for this? Why should we walk worthy? He says, giving thanks because he's made us meet to be partakers of the heirs of Christ. Because of who he has made us to be, walk worthy of the Lord. Do you understand? He comes down through here and he talks about that we have redemption through his blood. You say, Pastor, why should I walk worthy? Why should I be filled with all knowledge? We're saved. Amen. He has saved our souls for eternity. Why should we do this? Well, Pastor, why should we walk worthy? He's translated us. Verse 13 says, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. The power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's only what Jesus has done for us. Do you think we can walk worthy for him? Do you think we can live our lives and have that passion of pleasing unto the Lord?